Well, welcome and turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, please. The book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Prophecy about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just any prophecy, but one which will designate him different from birth. Isaiah, chapter 7. Verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This shall be a sign, and in the Hebrew, that the word "alth," I believe, is pronounced. It can mean we have here a virgin, and yes, it can mean a young maiden, but it also means a virgin, someone who is pure, and a miraculous sign. That's what that word means, a miraculous sign. And people who don't believe in the virgin birth say, well, it could be just a maiden. It could be just a young woman. I want you to look at the context here. From the context, would that be a spectacular sign if a young woman had a child? That's not much of a sign, right? But from the context, a miraculous sign. Would it be miraculous if a virgin conceived and bore a child? And his name shall be called Emmanuel. And I think this being that distinguishing factor about the Messiah's birth, that God sent us, he sent that Jesus as the Messiah, as the Anointed One, as the Christ, and he was to be God's own Son. And that sets him apart from just another significant individual or figure in history. When you think about those who do not believe that Jesus is God's Son, who believe that he was a great teacher, which he was, who believe, oh, well, he was a prophet, which he was, who believe he had a system, a tremendous system of ethical values, which he did. Well, what separates Jesus is that he is the Son of God. And God set this sign, this miraculous sign that would set him apart from all other people, in that a virgin birth. I think about how his birth was miraculous and how his death and resurrection miraculous. And his very life was just one big miracle. You think about the Christ line that God preserved, where at many times you can go in God's Word and you can see it was down to one person. Down to one person for the Word to hold true in the line. From Abraham to David, and David to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ and his ministry and our salvation. How precious this is to know the truth of who Jesus is. It wasn't just a young maiden. It was a virgin that he was born of. And we're going to look into God's Word today and see the beauty and the magnificent, can I say that again? Someone say it for me. Yes. Of Jesus' birth and us knowing the truth about it and holding that truth deep in our hearts. So if you would turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew to start with. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. The Gospel of Matthew starts out with a section of genealogy about the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes when you look at God's Word and you get in the sections of the begats, you kind of want to hit the fast forward button to get to the real stuff. But then we refrain from pressing that fast forward button, even if it doesn't make a lot of sense, because one day it will. And remember, all of God's Word is God-breathed and is for it inspires us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the furnishing of the man of God. So, you know what we're going to do? We're going to hit the fast forward button and go to verse 22. I thought you'd like that. That does not make those sections any less insignificant. It's just not what we're focusing on this morning. So, we're looking at the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And I'd like you to start, if you would, in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, before they had intercourse, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, she was betrothed to him, engaged, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. His lineage went back to David. Joseph, thou son of David. And if you look at the genealogy that's previous to this, it's very important to see the lineage going back to David. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Another way of, if you look at the Hebrew of this, it's Joshua, meaning Savior. Christ our Savior is born, like we say. Verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, let's repeat that verse. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Verse 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The virgin birth, it's not a myth. It's a sign. It's a miraculous sign. Like it said, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. And we know that that prophet was Isaiah. How much of Isaiah do you see prophecies concerning the Messiah and the Christ? So we have this wonderful, miraculous sign distinguishing Jesus from any, Jesus' birth from any other man's birth ever. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, please. The Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke also has quite a genealogy, but it's not in the beginning of this Gospel. Maybe someday we'll get into that. Verse 26 of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. It must be something pretty special for the angel to give that opening, would you say? Highly favored. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor. Great grace, thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary, then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She was a virgin. How could this be? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God shall nothing be impossible, or nothing spoken of God shall be impossible. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. The virgin birth, conceived of the Holy Spirit, God's own Son. That's what makes this season of the year so special. It's celebrating a miraculous birth. It's celebrating a miraculous Savior. Whatever date you believe that the Lord was born on, I personally don't believe it was in December, but I personally believe that he was born of a virgin, and I know that. And I know that because God says that in his word. And he's promised us. You know, as we look at this, we sang about Christ being the living word. If we turn to the Gospel of John chapter 1, we're doing a lot of chapter 1s here, aren't we? The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Son of God. That's who our Lord is. That's who our Savior is. Born of a woman. Born of a virgin. I mean, we think about God's ways being so much higher than our ways, and his thoughts so much higher than ours. The only way our thoughts and ways can come close to that is if we make his ways and his thoughts that he's revealed unto us our own. So there should never be any doubt about Jesus' birth being very special. That he was born of a virgin. That this was a miraculous sign. I think about, there was no other agency other than God, the Holy Spirit, overshadowing the Virgin Mary in the bringing about of Jesus, God's Son. Early on in Christianity, you can see in the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary." I believe that. I believe that because that's what God's Word says. God knew that a natural birth would be called into question. It had to be a supernatural birth for people to believe that it was God that was Jesus' father. Theologians of the past, they understood the, you know, the significance, the big paramount significance of Jesus' supernatural birth. And I think about that. There is nothing more supernatural than our God. And this was his Son. It shouldn't be a surprise that he had a supernatural birth. This truth sets him apart with Jesus' nature. with Jesus being the Savior, the only perfect sacrifice that could be made to save mankind. And I think about what people in the Word thought of Jesus Christ. I think about the devil himself and what he wanted people to doubt, including Jesus himself, of who his Father was. We go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, the baptism of Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, at the very end of that chapter, let me get there. Verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Who was Jesus? God's beloved Son. And God says so. The very next chapter is the temptation of Jesus Christ. And what does he come at Jesus Christ with? Exactly. Verse 1, chapter 4, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said," look at the first words that he attacks Jesus Christ with, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." And he answered and said, it is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And look what he comes at him again with. Verse 6. "And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God." And you see this temptation, and Jesus Christ answers the devil with the Word of God each time. And I think about the devil saying, "If thou be the Son of God." It's not just "if thou be the Son of God." Look what just happened in chapter 3. What did God just audibly say from heaven above? "This is my," not just "my Son, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The forces of the darkness would like people to think Jesus is just another teacher, another prophet, another great man, a man of significance in history. I look at history. Do you remember when they would say B.C.? Now it's BCE. They change it. They change it. Or AD. It's changed. The terminology has changed. You think it's by accident? You think it's because they just know a little bit more? Maybe they're more elite in their education? Because Jesus Christ is the dividing line and always has been. And when we hold in our heart that question, if Jesus be the Son of God, if Jesus be the Son of God, we can know from the Word of God that Jesus is the beloved Son of God. With a miraculous birth, born of a virgin, prophesied by the prophets hundreds of years before his birth. I think about Jesus as a young lad in the temple when he got separated from his mother and his stepdad. And they had to turn the caravan around. It's like, whoop, we left. We left Jesus. He's not with us. Is he with your camels? No. And Jesus says, what, don't you know I'm supposed to, that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus knew who his Father was. I think about when they were, Jesus at one point, he says, who do the people say the Son of Man is? Who do the people say I am? Well, some say you're a great prophet, you're a great teacher, maybe even, so-and-so. And he says to Peter, he goes, Peter, who do you say I am? Well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. My dad, my Father which is in heaven has revealed that unto you. And I think about what a privilege it is for us today who have this written word, this revelation from God Almighty. Because it's the same Father that revealed it unto Peter, who Jesus was, who has given us this written word today for us to know from the Father's own heart and his own breath, written in his word, flesh and blood hath not revealed that Jesus was born of a virgin. It wasn't because it was in the Nazareth or the Bethlehem Gazette, right? It was in God's word. Where today, we can rest assured that it was a miraculous birth, just like his had a miraculous death and resurrection. It was a miraculous birth that we celebrate today. The Son of God, the living Word of God. When you look at Jesus' face, the knowledge of God is right there. The knowledge of God. The glory as of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Amen. Amen.